From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to the world's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Open lines later tonight as we go back into time. And tonight also begins the free Streamlink weekend for you. So you can go to the coasttocoastam.com website, read all about it. What a program in store for you tonight. First, some quick news of the day. Phoenix police have in custody the two men they believe are responsible for a slew of shootings that had paralyzed the area with fear in recent months. Police say during a news conference that they believe Dale Hausner and Samuel Dietemann are the men who police have dubbed the serial shooter, who they believe to be responsible for 36 shootings of people, dogs, and horses, 7 people dead, others injured. Police are also trying to track down another serial criminal dubbed the Baseline Killer, who is believed to be responsible for killing 7 women, 1 man, and sexually assaulting 11 women and girls during the past year. Police think this killer's most recent victim was a 37-year-old woman at a Phoenix car wash, but police truly believe they have 2 of their suspects with the serial shooter. Dr. Lewis Turry has posted on his website something that he talked about several weeks ago with another reporter, and that was that he believed around this period of time, either more people in the Phoenix area would be killed, or police will catch up with the person or persons responsible. Looks like Dr. Turry may have another hit. In Lebanon, Hezbollah launched its deepest rocket strike inside of Israel to date, launching 3 rockets that hit near a town 50 miles south of the Lebanese border. The deep rocket attack came as Lebanese security officials say that an Israeli airstrike killed at least 28 civilians who were workers loading vegetables onto trucks near the Syrian border. In Cuba, Cuba's communist leadership has launched a campaign emphasizing the revolutionary roots of Fidel Castro's brother Raul and designated successor, attempting to reassure Cubans that the regime remains stable after the leader's hospitalization. Fidel Castro, they say, is on the mend following gastrointestinal surgery. He was bleeding. People sweltering from a heat wave in the mid-Atlantic region of the U.S. might find comfort to know that, in fact, the temperatures of the past few days are not the hottest on record. The honor belongs to a summer 76 years ago, decades before the controversy over man-made global warming began, they say. From June 1st to August 31st of 1930, 21 days had high temperatures that were 100 degrees or above. A meteorologist says that summer has never been approached, and it's not going to be approached this year. In Florida, thousands of burials at a Miami cemetery were not properly recorded, making it nearly impossible for relatives to locate graves of the dead, according to a lawsuit. Lawyers say that they are seeking a class action status for the lawsuit, which they say more than 5,460 bodies buried at the Graceland Memorial Park South Cemetery are essentially lost because of a bungled record-keeping and destroyed or non-existent grave markers. Marilyn Monroe was 36 years old when she died in 1962. She was an iconic American actress, singer, and model. To this day, she is one of the 20th century's most famous movie stars and pop icons. After acting in small roles for several years, she gradually became known for her comedic skills and screen presence, going on to become one of the most popular movie stars of the 1950s. Later in her career, she worked towards serious roles with a measure of success. However, long-standing problems were exacerbated by disappointments in both career and personal life during her later years. Her death, officially ruled to be probable suicide by drug overdose, has been the subject of much speculation and conspiracy theory. In a moment, you're going to meet a psychiatrist and a woman. They believe that she is the reincarnated Marilyn Monroe. Welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Now, for the next couple hours, we are going to talk with you about an incredible story. Her name is Sherry Leah Laird. She's the lead singer of a Canadian rock band, And she's also the divorced mother of a 21-year-old daughter. But throughout her life, she contends that she has been someone else, Marilyn Monroe. And a doctor, psychiatrist, believes that this may very well be the case. I'm going to introduce to you, first of all, Dr. Adrian Finkelstein. He's a MD, of course, graduate of the Hadassah Medical School in Hebrew University, Jerusalem, in Israel. He is a board-certified psychiatrist with more than 30 years' experience. Dr. Finkelstein has sub-specialized in hypnosis and its medical and psychiatric applications beginning in 1965. Since 1977, he has been doing research into the past lives and past life therapy. He has been researching and practicing psychic and spiritual healing and discovering their application in the contemporary holistic medical field. He is our special guest for the next couple hours. Hello, doctor. How are you?
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure, too. And also, we're going to introduce you to Sherry Leah Laird, and this is an incredible story. Sherry, how are you? Sherry, are you there? All right, well, we'll pick Sherry up when we get her somewhere out there. Doctor, tell me a little bit about how you met her.
Well, it was in the beginning of September 1998, when I got an email from her, and then I contacted her by phone. She was desperate, seeking help, as she attempted to commit suicide twice prior to contacting me. She was treated for depression in Canada with Orthodox psychiatry. At times, she even landed on mental wards. And she was desperate. So I listened with an open mind to her sad story. And the way she came across to me was like a troubled psyche seeking relief, not notoriety. I've been trained in human behavior, so I would have to recognize if a person is genuine or not. So my first impression of her was that she is completely genuine. But, you know, it wasn't something new for me, because by that time when she contacted me, I had already like 20 years plus experience of working with past life regression therapy research under hypnosis. With thousands of patients. However, with her, it was like it gave it a different twist, because after all, Sherry claimed she had lived as Marilyn Monroe before, and that was completely different. Most of my previous patients for past life regression were just regular people, John Doe and
sure.
Jane Doe.
All right, doctor, I think we have Sherry Leah Laird on the line with us now. Hi, Sherry, how are you?
Hi, George, sorry about that.
You must be Marilyn Monroe, because she always came late to the party.
No, others were too early.
Yes, everybody else is early, that's exactly right.
Sherry, tell us why you believe and how this happened, where you started to feel as if you were Marilyn Monroe reincarnated, or did it happen maybe after you were under hypnosis? How did this all occur for you?
It happened much earlier. I was really tormented by it, actually. It's not something that I said to myself, oh, I've got nothing to do, let's just do that. It just kept forcing its way out, and I ran as hard as I could, like not literally, I mean, like, how do you say, figuratively, but the thing is that it just was chasing me, and there would always be omens, and there was all of these nightmares and flashbacks and things that would remind me and triggers, and I just really didn't want to have anything to do with it, so I was looking for help.
Even when you were a little girl, this was happening to you, wasn't it?
Yep.
Tell me about the story with your grandmother when she sang a little song to
you. It was actually my aunt on my mother's side. And we had gone over to my aunt's, and my aunt, she's a diabetic, but she's just a lady who's kind of slow on the draw. She doesn't hurry for anything. And she was making us breakfast, and we were always like, yeah, right, Auntie May, because we know that breakfast or anything she's going to make us takes forever. And so it took about 2-3 hours just to get this breakfast. And so as we were sitting and waiting for it, I was sitting on her knee, and I was around 11 years old. And we were talking about the beauty mark up of my lip. And I said, she pointed to that, she said, that freckle. And I said, oh, I don't like that. And she said, started singing A Kiss on the Hand. And then it just echoed through my head. Like, I felt dizzy. I was sitting on her knee, and it just went like, wow, 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 like echoed through my head. And I said, what is that? And she said, oh, it's a song, a famous song by this lady, this actress. And she said she's famous, and her name was Marilyn Monroe. But I just thought, that's my song. That's me.
Before you and Dr. Finkelstein got together, were you being told by other people, were they starting to agree with you that you could very well be the reincarnated Marilyn Monroe?
No, no other doctor, nobody. I never told too many people. I only mentioned that I think some of the attacks that I was having was due to a past life. I only told one other doctor at the end of a 2-page letter of what I said was wrong with me, and I think I might be having a past life, and I think it might be Marilyn Monroe. But this doctor was very easygoing, and he just took it with a pinch of salt. But other than that, the only time Marilyn came up was when people said to me, you look like her, you act like her, or something of that nature.
Well, and I've got to say that in the pictures in the book, Marilyn Monroe Returns, Doctor, some of the scenes there are almost identical. Her expressions, the similarities, the nose, it really is uncanny, Doctor.
Yeah, I was shocked by not just that, but lots of signs. You see, in medicine, we make a diagnosis not just on one sign, but cumulative, mounting type evidence that brings us to an accurate diagnosis, and then we treat the person, and the person gets well. So in this case, this was one of the most striking signs. The biometrics, we call them, the similarity in the face, bone, structure, architecture between the two women, Marilyn and Sherry. Also, the hands, feet, body build, the voice pattern that we've just heard, the linguistics, personality quirks, and even handwriting are similar. And they appear in my book, Marilyn Monroe Returns, The Healing of a Soul, that was recently released. And pictures speak louder than words. I mean, a picture worth 1,000 words.
Sherry, Marilyn Monroe died on August 5th, 1962. When were you born?
Well, I believe that she was actually dead on the 4th of August.
All right.
Yeah, because it's several
of course, give or
hours
take a day,
earlier.
Yeah. But we do know she died in 62, for sure.
Yeah, and I was born shortly thereafter, which it's in the book.
Oh, you won't give me the year, will you?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, typical.
Because I'm a girl.
No. And it was after.
But
way after.
It was after, okay.
So. More than 9 months after, let's put it that way.
Okay, which is important, because I'm not sure you can be reincarnated if you were born before the person died.
But Madonna seems to think so.
Well, but if you indeed were born after she died, there's always that distinct possibility.
Yeah, that's right.
In terms of when you look at Marilyn Monroe films, Sherry, and mm-hmm. hear her sing, do you see yourself?
Mm-hmm. I hear it in the voice, and I see certain things that she does with her hands and certain expressions, the way she looks up or does something with her. I've been doing those things on stage myself as a singer without even knowing until I saw certain movies. Like, I only just saw a couple of the movies. There's No Business Like Show Business and Let's Make Love and a few others that came in a multi-pack of movies, like a 5-pack.
Do you sing some of the songs that she
sang?
Well,
when you started to play The French Are Glad To, I just started singing along with that for a laugh.
Well, you know, by the end of this interview or the next couple hours, you've got to sing Happy Birthday, Mr. President.
You know what? I hope you understand that I'm a little hoarse these days because of the lack of sleep on these last 5 days trip.
Oh, I understand.
And the talking and the air conditioning, so... You get what you get.
I get what I get. Okay, no problem. And we're gonna talk to you about some real tough things too, in terms of how you believe you passed on.
Mm-hmm.
If you are indeed Marilyn Monroe, mm-hmm. maybe your relationship with JFK or mm-hmm. Bobby, and we'll get into that too. Doctor, tell me about your peers and your colleagues. What do they say about this? I mean, do they accept your decision here in your opinion, or do they kind of run away from you now?
Well, one important fact that I should mention is that after I reapplied to renew my title as Assistant Clinical Professor of Psychiatry at UCLA, and the chairman of the department learned about my research on Marilyn Monroe's reincarnation, he asked me not even to apply.
He asked you not to apply?
Right.
What did you do?
I didn't apply. That's as simple as that. But I'm looking for the truth. At one time, one interviewer asked me on the radio, it was a young interviewer, and he asked me, Dr. Finkelstein, what would happen if you are endangering your career by following this case and researching it? What would you do? And I said, listen, I don't care. I just want the truth. Because if we're scientists, we have to look for the truth. And then he said, you know, Dr. Finkelstein, if I'm really going to be reincarnated, I want to be like you. And I was so flattered, but I told him, look, you'll be better.
Look, Sherry, I had a crush on Marilyn Monroe when I was a kid, so this is not going to be an easy interview for me tonight.
Right.
We're going to come up to a break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about your life, Sherry, and your investigation here, doctor. And then the next hour, if you're open, we'll open up the phone lines for people who I'm sure will have tons of questions for both of you about this as well. It is fascinating. Doctor, under hypnosis, is that primarily how you got most of the information you needed?
Yeah, that was the most compelling proof I obtained, and it was not just hypnosis, but the deepest type of hypnosis called somnambulistic, and after suggesting selective amnesia of all memories acquired artificially from a public record by Sherry about Marilyn Monroe.
Fascinating. Your website, pastlives.com. And Sherry, do you have one too, or do you all share one? What is
it? Yeah, we just share. We have all the same websites, Marilyn-Monroe.ca and MarilynMonroeReturns.com. And we put some information up, and we have been very busy, so we put some information up that was taken out of the book, like the psychic Auton Ray,
and
put some things back up that were gone.
Okay, well, we'll be back in just a moment as we continue our dialogue with Dr. Adrienne Finkelstein and Sherry Leah Laird, and they believe that she is the reincarnated Marilyn Monroe. I'm George Norrie, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. I want to find out as we move ahead now about how Marilyn met John F. Kennedy, what really happened, and then what happened to her. Hey, we've got a DigiCam picture up for you. You will find the banner for it right underneath the info on the free StreamLink weekend on the coasttocoastam.com website. What is the picture? Well, you'll have to go there and find out for yourself. I hope you enjoy it. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our special guests, Adrienne Finkelstein, doctor, he's a psychiatrist, and Sherry Leah Laird, and they believe she is the reincarnated Marilyn Monroe. Doctor, what are your thoughts on reincarnation? Why do you believe it happens?
Well, it happens because one lifetime seems to be not enough for most of us to learn the lessons we should in order to evolve as people. The Earth is a schooling ground. How can we be expected to learn everything required for our development in one lifetime? It is necessary for us to return many times to learn from our earlier experiences and thereby set the stage for our future lives. Eventually, as body, mind, and spirit mature, we develop higher and higher levels of reality. And how accustomed we are to perceive the world in only three dimensions. It is so easy to deny what we do not readily perceive. As the late American surgeon, I remember, used to say, Ernest Laplace, so wisely, what we know is little and what we don't know is immense. And our world, which of course includes ourselves, is formed of various levels of energy vibration. These vibrations rise from the gross level of our physical world to the highly refined plateau of thought and ultimately spiritual consciousness. We cannot deny the existence of these high levels of reality simply because ordinary methods fail to unlock their secrets. And exploration of the mind and spirit is one of the hallmarks of this new age. A refusal to examine new approaches to scientific truth is clearly unscientific and slightly foolish.
Well, would there have been a time in your career when you would have thought reincarnation was impossible, that it just didn't happen?
It was a time when I was quite brainwashed by the scientific training. When I was a young child, I was very psychic, I was told. And then it went away.
Yeah, it generally does sometimes.
Right. So, but then again, it's like it occurred to me, and it was in 1977, I had a personal experience in which I had a vision waking up in the morning, being in that twilight state, that I'm a healer somewhere in the world, and I'm taking care of the sick. And it was so vivid, so real for me that I got goosebumps. And I was very emotionally touched by it. And I thought at that point that maybe, you know, this is a method that we can harness to help humankind to overcome problems. Maybe that what we experience in this life is not you know, the only thing that makes us unhappy, but we have so much baggage that we don't deal with that resides in underneath subterranean part of our subconscious that we have to bring out and let go of it. So that's what started me into a project involving 700 volunteers in 1977. And extending to 1980. And I wrote a book on that, Your Past Lives and the Healing Process.
Sure.
And then I was not ready to publish it because of the ostracism in the academic circles, though there were some people like me in the academics that were on my side, and they understood, like Ian Stevenson, the chairman of the Department of Psychiatry at Virginia School of Medicine. Later on, Brian Weiss, the chairman of the Department of Psychiatry at Miami
Brian
School
well.
Of Medicine.
Yep.
Joel Witten, the chairman of the Department of Psychiatry at Toronto School of Medicine. So there were many others, so I wasn't alone at least later on. But in the beginning, I was. And even now, that a lot of my colleagues, because you asked me that question, approve of what I'm doing, and even backed up my research, there are still others that don't. So it's really, we had like three big hurdles to overcome in this research therapy with Sherry Lee Laird. Healing her soul, first of all, because we wanted her to be well and not think about doing away with herself. And that's my main purpose as a physician. Then proving the truth of reincarnation, which was the basis of healing Sherry. And what was the most difficult was to prove that she is the reincarnation of Marilyn Monroe. In other words, that celebrities have the right to reincarnate too, like anyone else.
Absolutely. And what's very interesting is Kenny Kingston, whom I've talked to, the psychic, I do believe he felt that Marilyn Monroe would be reincarnated, and lo and behold, Sherry comes forward shortly after, I guess, he expected, he threw out a date.
I know.
Yeah.
That really touched us. That, even though he said it was a baby, I guess he just means a baby in reincarnation form,
right?
Because it's a subject.
Sherry, I'm gonna ask you some questions that are primarily directed to Marilyn in her life. So my first question to you is the answers you give me are based on what you remember from your hypnosis?
Mm-hmm. Or previous.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about your relationship with John F. Kennedy.
Well, under hypnosis, I got to experience the terrible emotional trauma that Marilyn felt that I didn't really realize. You know, I have parents and I have my daughter, and I have never experienced the rejection that I felt under hypnosis that a woman could go through. I didn't know that existed. I felt so much trauma and literally the screaming and stuff, and it was such a heartbreaking feeling that just to see how lost I was at that time. And I just couldn't imagine in this life being so, to put my entire eggs in one basket, so to speak, over a man, per se, or I guess I could. I mean, I can imagine it, but it hasn't happened, so I never really experienced that kind of rejection. But I found my relationship with what I called him, Jack, under hypnosis, which Sherry doesn't know that Johns are Jacks. That's not really something I knew.
Right.
And I found that it was a love-hate kind of feeling. I really felt angry at times, and I also felt attracted at times.
Now, you knew he was married, I assume.
Yes.
That didn't bother you?
It didn't seem to bother her, to tell you the truth, and that's kind of shameful in a way. I mean, it bothered her more from her angle, not because of Jackie. And all my life, and I'm sorry to say, I don't know why I didn't like Jackie Onassis, but I didn't like her, and I thought she was bug eyes, and I really had no explanation as Sherry, because I'm not really like that. I'm not a very judgmental person, and I just didn't like that woman at all.
Did you think at any time that the JFK was going to leave her for you?
You know, that wasn't one of the questions that was asked during regression, and so because we skipped over some things, because the emotional aspect was too hard, I never got to see if I thought that, but I think Marilyn was not stupid enough, from what I know of the regressions, to actually think that would happen, because that would be ludicrous for the country.
I was always told that sometimes JFK whispered trade secrets to Marilyn, told her things that he didn't tell a lot of people about things, about issues, maybe about the Bay of Pigs. Maybe I even heard things that he told her that UFOs existed. And
I feel Bobby did that, but not Jack.
Really? Okay.
And I also felt that Jack was more, maybe in passing, a comment, like he could acknowledge a yes or a no. They didn't seem to have that kind of relationship. It was more, I feel that it was very selfishly motivated on his behalf as much as it was on her behalf. So it was a fling, and it was for his satisfaction. And under regression, I've seen that she wasn't the only one. And, you know, he is who he was. He had a reputation as a womanizer. Only now do I see that after regression.
Bobby
was a bit more gentle. He was a bit more considerate.
Okay, we'll get to Bobby in a sec. Did you sneak into the White House at all?
Yeah, I did see that happen, but I didn't see a tryst when, or how do you say that, tryst?
Tryst.
Yeah, I saw that there was a visit, but I didn't see any sexual ongoings of any kind.
Okay, now what about the relationship with Bobby Kennedy?
You know, right from the start, regressing on Bobby was more of a comforting and pleasurable experience, and I felt genuine affection and genuine concern and affection for me from him, and that I just felt that he was better in bed, even. That's what came to me. I mean, I just got to go with what comes. So,
all right. Did he whisper trade secrets to you?
You know, he did. What I saw with him is he said, he told me we were going to get him, and I knew he was talking about Fidel. And the thing is that I knew they were going to get him, and they were taking him down, and I think somebody let that leak, because one of the earlier regressions when we talked about Bobby, I knew that he was a real go-getter. Like, he was unstoppable.
Only because we investigate this during this program, I'm going to ask you this question. Did he ever talk to you about extraterrestrial life, or that they knew that we were being visited by beings from another land? There are some people who believe that the Kennedys knew something.
Well, I believe everybody believed that, or at least thought it. But I feel that was more from friends like Peter Lawford and stuff, joking and talking about extraterrestrials. But I don't believe it from my regression that they were really talking about it. Like, you know, these are also men, so you can have a conversation with them, and you can say, well, what do you believe? What do I believe? And stuff like that. But not from a presidential point of view. Not like that.
Sherry, let's talk about Marilyn's death for a moment. Mm-hmm. There are some who, of course, believe that she committed suicide with a overdose of pills. There are others who think she was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think now, based on the fact that you believe you are the reincarnated Marilyn Monroe? Did you commit suicide? Did you OD, or were you murdered?
I'm quite sure, yeah.
Yeah, what?
I'm saying yes to that. I'm quite sure that's the way it went.
Well, which way?
The suicide. And the thing about it is that as Sherry, when I would glance at a book, or if I would hear something and I would read, like, maybe pages or paragraphs or any kind of conspiracy theory, they'd have me convinced, too. I'd be like, boy, that has to have happened. But my instinct was that didn't happen like that, and my regression said that it didn't happen like that. But, of course, like I'm like everybody else, when I'm not under hypnosis, I can fall for a good story myself. Like, I have questions about Michael Jackson, too. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Sometimes it's one way, and sometimes I believe he's not guilty. Same with the Marilyn thing. When I'm not under hypnosis, I'm like, well, there's just too much stuff, and there's too much FBI stuff, and it has to have happened. But under regressions, you're not lying, and there's no way to fake what you know. And it's just, I think Dr. Phil, I'm not a huge fan of Dr. Phil, but he said something that makes great sense, and past behavior predicts future behavior. And Marilyn was a manic, depressed person who attempted suicide on many occasions and wanted to die and talked about it regularly.
She wasn't happy, was she?
No, she couldn't get happy. It's a physical thing. It was a mental thing. She was needing different medication.
That's a shame, too, because everyone did love her. Yeah, you know, her fans loved her.
They couldn't keep her alive, just like Kasia almost couldn't keep me alive, and neither could Gladys keep her alive, because nobody was really clinging to her the way she needed.
After she died, after she apparently then committed suicide, do you know if her spirit, if her soul tried to, contact people or anything like this, or did she simply go to the light and until you were born?
When I regressed, I went very quickly, and I also felt that it was very quick that I was in a zone of, like, a floating zone. There was, like, I was aware of there being something past that, and what I seen myself doing, which was very strange to me, was the way I was dressed in the hotel room when we were doing the regressions. I was in black slacks and a black sweater.
All right.
And I felt that I was on a steel slab in those clothing with an orderly guy, like an orderly, I guess you would call him. He was all in white, and I believe that he was a man that was either an ambulance attendant or someone at the time of the death. I feel like if I see that man's picture, I will know who he is. Now, I felt like I was sustained in limbo right there, and that this person was talking to me without moving their mouth, like it was a mental thing. And doctor was asking me what, and so I was sort of conscious about being asked questions. I was sort of conscious about being elsewhere in limbo. And he said, why did you come back? And I said, my daughter. And the thing is that I'm just going to answer the door of the hotel room here. And
well, wait a minute. We got to figure out who's out there first before you let him in.
I think it's my dog. And
your dog knows how to knock on a door?
Yeah, my boyfriend and my dog.
Oh, okay.
So then what happened was, because of the miscarriage of my mother.
All right.
And it happened right away. And what happened was my mother said she had a miscarriage, and the timing of it was immediate. She got pregnant in August, and she lost it in October. And she got pregnant in October, and I was born in July. So the math even works. Same with Kasia. Gladys Monroe Baker waited 50 years to die, and she died on March 11th, 1984, and Kasia was born December 11th, 1984. That was 9 months to the exact day.
Did you realize that once you had passed on that you made a mistake?
Well, that's what I believe, the remorse and the chest pains and the panic and the fright and the disgusting feeling. I believe that came from five onwards. I believe that came from the fact that when I was dying of respiratory failure, that's exactly what I had, regret and remorse.
All right. So, Sherry, why don't you give us your best rendition of Happy Birthday, Mr. President, before we have to go to a break, and then we're going to come back with phone calls for the next
hour. I'll
try. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. It's been some time. They made me do it for Lilydale, but happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Happy birthday to you.
That's very good.
Well, actually, it's the hoarsest voice I've ever sang this in about 2 years.
Doctor, let me bring you in for just a moment here. At what point did you start believing that she was indeed Marilyn Monroe?
Well, I had a feeling from the beginning when she came across to me so genuine that she most probably is the reincarnation of Marilyn Monroe. However, there's always this part of me, this skeptical scientist that wants to prove, trust but verify. And that took me a span of 8 years and very hard work and hard work on Sherry's part in order to find out the truth. So it's hard to say that it was just one sign or something that convinced me. But certainly, at a time when we did the second round of regressions in November last year, and she had such a very emotional response, talking about JFK and about how she really died. By the way, it appears like she said that it was suicide, like intentional suicide. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was intentional, and Sherry probably would agree with me. It was like she didn't care. But this is what she told me.
I guess you would call it careless suicide.
Yeah,
huh?
And when she realized that it was too late, and I would say it's more like it appears to me like professional and accidental overdose, because she made plans. She bought furniture from Mexico. She was planning to remarry Joe DiMaggio, so she wasn't really prepared to intentionally kill herself.
All right, stay with us, both of you. We're going to open up the phone lines, let some people ask you two some questions, and then later on tonight we'll have open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM.